Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time Hour, well, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want you to be a part of it. If you've had a question that you've been holding on to, no need to hold on to it any longer. Give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We opened up a little can of worms yesterday when we addressed the idea of where is the realm of the believer. Is it in the flesh or in the spirit?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of confusion out there about that very subject. But
yeah,
the Bible is very clear. If you are a believer, you're no longer in the flesh. You are in the spirit. Paul put it this way in Romans 8:9, and we read this verse yesterday. I want to read it again. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So we were in the flesh. We followed after the desires of the flesh. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. That was our life before we knew Jesus. We were in the realm of the flesh. Well, Jesus rescued us. He went on this daring rescue mission, and he snatched us out of that arena, the arena of darkness where flesh had its rule and way. He snatched us out of that, and he placed us into himself. And now we're within the realm of the spirit, and he's not going to let us go back. I mean, he's put up a barrier. We cannot cross back over into the realm of the flesh. Now, while we're in the spirit, we may give in to fleshly desires that are still, yes, within these members. But when we do, we're doing that act of the flesh in the spirit. So it doesn't feel right. It doesn't seem right. We get it's like, gosh, this isn't me anymore. And we've probably all had that experience. I know I have, where I've done some things. I've chosen to do some things that I used to do when I was lost. And when I'm doing it, I think, gosh, I don't belong here. This, yeah, doesn't, I don't fit with this anymore.
It's just a waste.
That's right. It's not that I'm better than anybody. It's simply that I've been changed. I have a new identity in Christ, and who I am doesn't fit with this activity anymore. Well, that's how you know that you're no longer in the flesh, but in the spirit. When those activities that you were so comfortable with as a lost person become uncomfortable to you. And that's just because you're in a different realm.
Yeah.
You're in the spirit. And because you're in the spirit, you don't have an obligation to the flesh. The flesh is still going to tug on you. The flesh is still going to offer up desires that you used to gratify, but you have no obligation to that anymore. You're in the spirit, and the abundant life that God has called you to is experienced as you walk and live out the desires that God's Spirit is placing inside of you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. We'd love for you to be a part of it. As I said, 844-322-2742 in the U.S. or Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob and Richard, as we said this week, the days continue to count off until June 30th, depending on how you count, 4 days or 3 days, but the fiscal year is approaching, and yesterday you did some on-the-air calculations to see how we could reach what we need by the 30th.
Yes, I did, and it's simple math. That's what I can do, and I can do it pretty well.
Yeah.
But as of yesterday, we needed $79,500 to meet our target of $199,000 for the month. So that's 100 people giving $795. Well, now we're down below $75,000. So several people have jumped up and helped out, and we greatly appreciate that. But we still need others to step up and help us at this particular point of our fiscal year.
Yeah.
So if a lot of people join in, and, you know, we threw out that number of $795 for many people, that they're not able to do that. So if that's the case, do what you can. If it's,
yeah,
$50, if it's $100, then give that, mm-hmm. but do it now. Do it this week so that we can meet this target. There may be others out there who saying, hey, $7.95, I can do three times that amount or five times that amount. Well, if that's the case, do that. Sure. Don't let $7.95 limit you. But the way it normally works out is that 100 people, if 100 people respond to it and give whatever you can give and do it generously, do it with a smile on your face, then it'll usually average out to about what that average gift is.
Yeah.
So do what you can. Help. Get this good word of Jesus Christ out to as many people as possible. That's what people need. I just flabbergasted with all the mixed messages that are going on out there.
Yes.
Thinking we need a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and let's blend it all together and come out with some other message. No, what people need is the pure word about Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the only message that resonates deep within a person's heart. There's lots of messages that make us feel good, that put Band-Aids on problems. But only the message of Jesus fixes us deep within our souls and gives us a brand new life that we can live out through faith in him.
Yeah.
So give people Jesus, and you can do that by making a contribution to Basic Gospel, and we would certainly greatly appreciate it right now. And I know many people out there appreciate it as well.
Absolutely. And when you go to make your gift to basicgospel.net, you can do it either of two ways. You can click the donate button, or you can click the large link that says The Real You, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of our DVD or a CD of this new message that we're offering about your identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, that's at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and that number is available to you right now and 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Well, Kristen was listening in Kansas, and she has a question I think is very, very good and appropriate. Let's listen to that call right now.
I love Basic Gospel. My question is, when I feel the onslaught of the enemy, like, you're this, you're that, da-da-da, I just feel myself slipping, will you please help me with some strategies to get the truth back in and maybe even the faith and the belief that I can scramble back up or whatever it is? I need some help. Thank you.
That's an excellent question, and really it dovetails right into our conversation this month about identity in Christ. And I think when the enemy is after us, he's always trying to convince us that we are different than what God says
yes.
about us, that we're truly not children of God. So he accuses us based on our behavior, maybe even based on some thoughts that we have. And those accusations seem to hold water. And oftentimes we listen to those accusations. And when we start listening to those accusations, when we start pondering what those accusations are, then our feelings get involved.
Yes.
Our feelings start to go down a downward spiral. We start feeling condemned. We start feeling guilty. And that's what she was saying. That's what Kristen was saying. How can I, you know, pull myself back up and you know, get out of those feelings? Well, you have to recognize that feelings come from thinking, and you've been listening to what the enemy is saying. You have no obligation to listen. That's
yeah.
the good news. You have no obligation to listen. If you feel like you are thinking accusatory thoughts, I think you just recognize that those are coming from the enemy and say, I'm not going to listen to them because I know the truth. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to stand on that truth. And as a matter of fact, enemy, thank you for reminding me of
yeah.
who I am in Christ. And I think as you learn to do that, and I think that's one of the most practical strategies that you can have as far as your Christian life is concerned, then you will see those accusatory thoughts kind of diminishing over time.
Yeah, yeah. Our battle is not to change our thinking. Our battle is not to climb out of the pit. Our battle is to fix our eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
He's the one who has defeated Satan. He is the one who has declared us to be in the Spirit. Therefore, we cannot fall into a pit. We can behave like we have, but we're not there. We're with Jesus in the heavenly places. If we get our mind on him, and quit listening to the accusations, then we'll find out that his victory truly is our victory.
Yes, yes, indeed. An illustration that I've liked, that I've heard many, many years ago, has been helpful to me in this regard. And here's the illustration. It has to do with an apartment building. So you're a tenant in that apartment building, and there's a landlord that owns the building that is just a piece of work. He is always mean. He's always demanding payment. He's always saying, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. He just makes your stay in that apartment building miserable, totally miserable. But you're under his control. Why? Yep. Because he owns the building. Mm-hmm. Well, the gospel is this, that Christ has redeemed us. He has bought the building.
Yes.
So now there's a new landlord. But in the way things have worked, as far as these bodies of ours are concerned, the old landlord still finds a place to stay. Mm-hmm. So the old landlord is now a tenant in the same building that you're a tenant in. And so he still comes around, knocks on the door, demands payment, demands you to do this, demands you to do that. And because you've been accustomed to that way of behavior from that old landlord, you are prone to listen. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to. Why? Because you're under new ownership. You have a new landlord. His name is Jesus. And so oftentimes, when we were lost, we got so accustomed to listening to the enemy, listening to the desires of the flesh, that now that we're under new ownership, that we have the Spirit living us in us, even when that flesh raises its ugly head, rears its ugly head, we're prone to listen. And we have to realize, wait a minute, we don't have to listen at all. Why? Because the flesh is no longer in charge. He is no longer able to collect rent. He is no longer able to demand that I clean up this or clean up that or do this or do that. He has no power whatsoever. Why? Because he doesn't own me like he did before. Jesus Christ has redeemed me. He has purchased me with his precious blood shed on the cross. I now belong to him. I am in his realm. My only obligation is to him. I don't have to listen to any other voice. Even though those voices are coming, I don't have to listen to them. Right. So I think if we kind of really think about that illustration, it can be helpful to us. And it goes right with what Paul said in Romans 8:12. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to the Spirit. Our obligation is to simply listen to the words of Christ.
Yeah.
Discard anything else.
Yeah.
That's the way forward.
Yeah, I think that's a very important thing for our listeners to understand. And friends, once you respond to the call of the Holy Spirit and place saving faith in Jesus Christ, you receive his very life. And at this point, you have a choice. You can enter into that mindset that you're an old sinner saved by grace, kind of a translation of what Bob was talking about with the old landlord and the old ways of living, or you can understand that you have become a new creature in Christ, that you are now a new creation. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You have a new identity, a child of God. You belong to the King. So to help you understand that new identity as God's child, we have a new CD and DVD entitled The Real You. And if you receive, and if you will receive a copy of it, will make a great gift, and we would like to get that into your hands. If you can give a gift by the 30th of this month, well, that's the end of our fiscal year, just 4 days away, depending on how you're counting. Well, we'll get that to you. Just click the Real You link at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742 and get to know the Real You. Again, that's basicgospel.net or by calling 844-322-2742. Guys, we had a question that came in from our Facebook channel. This is from Solomon. It says, if we are all born of a sinful nature, does this mean babies that die are condemned? At what point in our lives, biblically speaking, do we become responsible for our sin? Is a five-year-old who lies about taking a piece of candy going to hell? I never really thought about this before. That's from Solomon, who wrote to us through Facebook.
Well, there's a lot that's been said through church history about the age of accountability.
Yeah.
There's nowhere in the Word of God that gives us an age of accountability. We know that the law speaks to those who are under the law, and it speaks to shut their mouths and make them accountable to God. So I think there's a point in all of our lives that we become accountable to God. We recognize that we are a debtor to Him,
yeah,
and that something has to happen for us to be in right standing. Now, when that is for each person, that's between that person and God. Mm-hmm. Now, how does God handle babies? How does God handle infants? They're born in sin. They're born in Adam. So when they come into this world, everything that is that was Adam's in his fallen state has been passed on to them.
Yes.
They're separated from God's spirit. They're separated from life, spiritual life. And at a point in time in the future, this gospel message will touch their hearts and they'll be made alive. Mm-hmm. That's what the gospel does. Now, before that, when they're infants, what if they die? They weren't able to understand, to receive the word concerning Christ. Well, are they going to be separated from God eternally? I think with that, in that particular case, God's character can answer that for us. We know that He is a God of mercy, and that we can entrust that infant's life into His merciful hands, knowing that He's going to make the right decision. And He will, and
yes,
He does. And we also have different passages. There's a passage in Zechariah, for example, that talks about the streets of heaven being filled with children. So we know children are there. We also know that Jesus said, "Suffer the little children unto me. Don't hinder them from coming." So, why? Because for such of these is the kingdom of God.
Right.
So we know there's a tender place in God's heart for the children of this world.
Yeah, but we've got to make sure that we do it in truth. One of the arguments I hear quite often is, oh, this little baby was so innocent. No, babies are not born innocent. They're born in Adam, and all you have to do is have a baby to know that they're not innocent. Now, they haven't experienced life like the rest of us, but they're not innocent. So walking by faith in a loving, just, merciful God is a different thing than saying, well, God, you have to save this child because the child was innocent.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's initiating to God. Let's allow God to initiate to us, and then we respond by faith.
Yeah, the mercy seat is always the meeting point
for
between God and man, and that's going to be true for any individual. So it's God's mercy, His merciful ways that come into play as far as an infant is concerned.
Yeah. Well, it's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. The guy's had a question from an anonymous writer. He says, I have a great understanding of grace, but my wife's mother has a son who is sick. She tells my wife and me that she is sowing into a certain ministry and that thinks by doing that, God will heal her son. My question is, what scriptures would you recommend to help her see that Jesus has already healed her son, that we don't give in order for God to bring His promises to pass, but to give out of thanks for what He has already done? What resources would you recommend?
Well, the entire, New Testament really speaks to that. There is no negotiating with God. There is no contract that you can strike with God. You don't sow into something in order for God to multiply that, tenfold, a hundredfold, or whatever it might be. That's a contract. That's a legalistic way of approaching God, and that's going to lead you to disappointment. It's going to lead you to being angry about God, toward God,
yes,
and shrinking away from God. So that's not how God wants us to approach Him. As a matter of fact, He wants us to approach Him in response to His initiative in our lives. Now, He has already reached out to us in grace in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He has already demonstrated His love for us. So we just need to receive that. Now, if we have a point in time where we contract an illness, and that we're not healed from that, well, Christ walked with us through that entire journey.
Yes.
And when we took our last breath, we were immediately absent from the body and present with the Lord. It's a win-win. And in being present with the Lord and in this resurrected body that's going to come, that's ultimate healing. And that's what God wants us to rest in. That's where our hope lies. But if I do get healed today, Christ was there with me the whole time. Yeah. I still have Christ. It's a win-win either way. So we need to look at it realistically, don't we?
Yes.
There's no promise that says that we are going to be healed here and now. There were many people that Jesus healed in his public ministry, but there was a lot of people that he didn't heal.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, why is that? Well, the Father didn't tell him to heal that person.
Yeah.
That's why he did exactly what his Father told him to do. And he did that because his Father had a purpose. Well, we can rest in the fact that God has a purpose in all of these different situations. So we don't need to sow into something in order to get God to do something on our behalf. That's a legalistic way of approaching God. It's going to lead to all kinds of disappointment, fear, and anger. Just trust that God knows best.
Yeah.
That if you have Christ in your life, you are right in the heart of his will. If this illness doesn't pass away, it takes a person's life. Let's trust the Lord in that, and let's rejoice that that person, when he takes his last breath, is absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Yes. Yeah, I love how Paul came around to this, because he talks in several places about how many times he's faced death and all these terrible things, and yet his conclusion is, if I remain alive for whatever reason, it just means fruitful labor for me.
Yes.
And if I don't, I'm home.
Right.
That's the attitude.
That's the attitude indeed. Yeah. Well, let's go to Troy, Texas, and talk to Curtis. Hi, Curtis.
Hey, boss. How are you doing today?
Doing fine. What's on your mind?
Well, I was trying to figure out. I was listening to you there, and of course, we as humans, we always ask the big question: why? Why something happens? Why this? And why do I feel this way? And I was listening to you explain that once you're in Christ, you're in the Spirit, that then the devil still is going to attack us and make us feel like we are not worthy, that what we just did was horrible, and we're not saved, and we're really one of his instead of Jesus. And I was thinking about this, and I was wondering, is it safe to say that the reason the devil attacks us in that time is that he wants us to sit down and be quiet, to feel unworthy of God's love, so that we then don't go out and do God's work?
Well, Curtis, he's the father of lies. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So that's ultimately his purpose in attacking, is to steal, kill, and destroy, to steal what's rightfully God's, to destroy who they are. That's what his end goal is. If he's going to be cast out, then he wants to take as many people with him.
Yeah.
Now, his only tool is deception. So all he has are lies. So he offers up those lies in such a persuasive way that we sometimes bite on them. But the way out is truth. Error binds us. Truth sets us free. So we have to learn some discernment and that sort of thing. But you're right, Curtis, when we buy into what the enemy is hawking, so to speak, then we're not going to be very anxious to offer ourselves up as a living yeah. sacrifice to God to be used by God. So that is certainly a consequence. So,
yeah.
Well, Curtis, thanks for your call. We're out of time.
Yeah. Friends, we're only 4 days away from the end of our fiscal year, and we seriously need your help as we approach that date to get the bills paid by the end of this month, the 30th. So if Basic Gospel ministers in your life, help us keep the good news coming to reach other ears who need to hear. Click donate at basicgospel.net or call anytime, day or night, 844-322-2742 to make your gift, and we'll send you a copy of our new CD or DVD called The Real You. We want you to have a copy of it. So go to basicgospel.net, click one of the links there to make your donation, or call 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.